Chapter 4. We laid the two bodies in the single grave we'd dug. We'd shrouded each in a pair of black plastic hefty bags before loading them in the trunk, and we left the bags on when we transferred them to the grave. "There ought to be a prayer over them," Mick said, standing awkwardly at the side of the grave. "Would you ever have a prayer you could say?" I couldn't think of anything appropriate. I remained silent, as did Andy. Mick said, "John Kenny and Barry McCartney. Ah, you were good boys. And may God grant you glory. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." He made the sign of the cross over the grave, then dropped his hands and shook his head. "You'd think I could think of a fucking prayer. They ought to have a priest. But that's the least of it. They ought to have a proper funeral. Not Jesus. They ought to have 30 more years of life, as far as that goes. And it's too fucking bad what they ought to have, because this is all they're after getting. A hole in the ground, and three men shaking their heads over it. Oh, poor bastards. Let's bury him and be done with it." It took a lot less time to fill in the hole than it had taken to dig it. Still, it took a while. We had only the one shovel and took turns with it, as we'd taken turns before. When we'd finished, there was earth left over. Mick shoveled it into a wheelbarrow from the tool shed and dumped it 50 yards away, deep in the orchard. He brought the barrow back, returned it to the tool shed along with the shovel, and came back for another look at the grave. He said, "Spot it a mile away, wouldn't you? Well, there'll be no one back here but O'Gara. Then it won't be the first one he's seen. He's a good man, O'Gara. Knows when to turn a blind eye." The light was still on in the farmhouse kitchen. I rinsed out the thermos and left it in the strainer, and Mick put back the unopened cans of ale.